Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Good to see you here this morning. And again, I want to thank you for all the work you did. Just to realize the hours that we put in. I know we're down about $4,000 right now. I mean, of all the costs that are going in and everything. And so if you'd like to help in that, we certainly encourage you to do that and be part of it. This week I looked at this scripture and I was amazed about the armor of the Christian is supposed to wear. A weak and cowardly soldier is a pitiful object. It'd be pretty pitiful if you have weak soldiers that are not willing to be trained and properly. I know we have about 40% in our church that are military personnel. And I know you men train a lot. Jason Reeves seems like he's constantly going. You know, he's got three little boys raising at home, but he's going all the time. I know Brother Napper, he is an instructor, teaching a lot of these young guys, training them to be good leaders. And I know that Brother Tucker, he's out there taking care of business, amen. And are you back on nights again? He's working nights for a long time. I thought you'd never get off them things. Andrew there, Matthews, training, and on and on. All these guys at our church, Casey, working hard and doing what they have to do. And we like a well-trained militia. We like a well-trained men and women that serve and do a great job at it. And we need to continue to pray, of course, for our government. We realize how important it is to have a very well-trained military. And I think that should be a prayer that we have. And I love living in freedom. And I enjoy the fact that I'm an American. And so let's continue to pray for it. But a weak and a cowardly soldier is a pitiful object to look at. But a weak-kneed, coward Christian is still more. We have a lot of Christians that are cowards, that are turning their back and turning away from things of the principles of the Word of God. And that's a very devastating thing. We need to be well trained in the Word of God. We need to be men of the book and ladies of the book, the Bible. And a man ought to be strong. I'm not talking about somebody that's noisy and violent and quarrelsome in religion. None of these really are proof of strength. A giant of power is ever the gentlest, having the hand of steel and the glove of silk, has nothing to prove. Men who will take their little babies in their arms. I mean, strong men are that do great work, but they're so tender with that little child. That's, you know, we as Christians ought to be like that. We ought to be so strong about the Word of God, but also very tender and compassionate to those who never knew or those who never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like I said, there's a lot of noisy and violent and quarrelsome people in religion today. And you wonder, where in the world did they get that? They certainly didn't get it from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us be very careful of that. Well, the stronger Christian is, the more humbly he bears himself. That's a statement I want to make today. The stronger Christian is, the more humbly he bears himself. He realizes that it's not about him. He realizes this universe does not circle around him. He realizes the universe circles around God, and anything that God can do or use in him, he's humbled at the fact that God will use him. And thrilled that God has done it. One man said, if the world wants iron dukes and iron men, then God wants iron saints. We ought to be strong saints. We should not be baffled by the things that come into our lives. This is called faith. Faith is realizing that, hey, we can't see what's going on, but we trust God in it. We can't see many times situation that we go through. We just kind of wonder and it kind of It perplexes us. But that's called living by faith and not by sight. That's what God called us to do. So first of all, he says, be strong. I know a lot of people that work out. And God bless you. And work hard at it and build up them guns, you know, and I got a daughter-in-law. She was having a hard time losing weight, and so she went into kickboxing. I tell you what, I don't know if I want to meet her on a dark street. Hey, man, she's just a big little thing, but I'm going to tell you something. I think she'd just slap you to tomorrow. I mean, real quick, you know. But God commands us Christians to be strong and to be quite sure of what we believe. Well, know why we believe certain things. I was reading an article. Three-fifths of all Mormons converted to Mormon were at one time Baptists. Three-fifths. And if you've ever studied the Mormon religion, you realize that it is a cult. You say, but Pastor, they're so kind to their families. I know, but if they're a cult, let's call it what it is. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. They believe that God also had Satan. That was another one of his sons. Well, right there, that turns me off. And raises my level, the fact that, hey, you know what? And of course, there's a lot more stuff to it. I understand that. But we ought to know what we believe. Thus saith the Lord God. We ought to be strong in what we believe. We ought to be quite clear of what we believe. And we ought to then show our faith strongly. He said, be strong. This is what I believe. This is what you say, you're cussing the Mormons. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what they believe. My Jesus did not have a brother. My Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He lived a spotless, clean life. And he came to this world to die for shed his blood so we could be reconciled to a holy God. And it's only by the blood that we can be saved. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Not of works. And we ought to know. We ought to be strong about our beliefs in the Christianity. We ought to understand that the salvation does not come through us. It comes through Jesus Christ alone. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We must be very careful that we understand that we are to keep the Word of God. The Old Testament was given for an example to the believers of the New Testament. The Ten Commandments are still the Ten Commandments. They're not the Ten Suggestions. And we as Christians ought to be strong in that. And we ought to know our Bible. We ought to be taught our Bible. We ought to be very careful that we don't let a day go by without reading that Bible. Don't a day go by without praying to our Heavenly Father. So be strong in the faith. Strength is not founded on words. Some people say, well, perhaps. Someone said, well, I suppose. Or I'll hear something, well, I hope so. No, the creed of the Christian is, I believe. The creed of the Christian is, I believe. This is what I believe. I will die for it. That'll be a problem, but anyway. You do that last time you were preaching here, brother? All right. Satan doesn't look like what we're preaching today, does he? Amen. The creed of the Christian is, I believe. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I don't understand. I believe, thus saith the Lord God, and I will die for it. We've seen a lot of things happening in our country today, and we see this lady down in Kentucky that says, I will not offer marriage license to sodomists. Marriage license is for a man and a woman, or a woman and a man. I don't know how this is going to play out in America. But I hope to God that she stays straight. Because right now she's got a tremendous testimony. A lot of people putting their lives online. But she believes it's her God-given duty to obey the Word of God. Because God's laws are more important than man's laws. Many of our forefathers went to the stake and were burned because they would not renounce their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ and His blood alone. And they were told to renounce it, and they would not. I don't know how long it's going to be before we start feeling some of the effects of what's going on in America. I don't know about you, but I'm a little concerned about opening up the gates and allowing many people come from other countries to America. I don't know what that's going to do to us. I do know one thing. Minneapolis and St. Paul have, the whole culture has changed up there since they brought the Somalians in. I have nothing against the Somalians, but don't come and change our country, what was at one time a God-fearing country and a God-we-trust country, to come in to have some Muslim Allah who is not the God that we know, not the Jehovah that we know. I have a hard time with that, and I believe you do too. So the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of, underline that, circle it, whatever you can, His might. I cannot do anything of myself. It has to be through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, I'll abide in you. You get away from that vine, you're going to die. So the power comes from God. Put on the whole armor of God. Scripture teaches us to be ready to give reason for the faith that we have in us. We are to have the reason. We're to be strong. It is our responsibility to know our Bible. It's not a very big book. If you sit down and you're diligent in 40 hours, you can read this whole Bible. If you're diligent in it, just stay with it. Keep reading it. It may surprise you what's in the Bible. I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I'll ask them, have you ever read it? And said, well, no. You know, that does not compute. If you don't believe the Bible, and you've never read the Bible, how can you say you don't believe the Bible? That's like I bake some cookies and I say, here, have a cookie. Well, I don't like your cookies. Well, you never taste them. Can I tell you what I used to do to my grandkids? I have one of the fathers here who probably won't like this. I said, all I want you to do is taste it. If you don't like it, spit it out in the garbage. But I want you to taste it. Don't tell me you don't like something if you never tried it. I was over in the Philippines a while back, and they were harassing me for a number of years that I'd been over there to eat balut. Balut is an egg that's been incubated 17 days, then boiled in salt water. And you say, ew, you've never ate it. Don't go, ew, to me. I ate it. I ate it in front of 1,000 high school, college guys. I asked one kid from California who was over there going to college. I said, man, you think I could eat this thing? He said, yeah. He said, just don't look at it. Don't look at it. Just crack it open and eat it. He said, it'll be okay. And I did. You know what it tastes like? Hard-boiled egg. A little more crunchy. A couple pieces of feathers. She said, that's disgusting. You've never tried it. Same way with Christianity. When you've experienced the love of Jesus Christ, who forgives you of all your sins, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then when you die, I'll take you to heaven. I have a mansion in heaven just prepared for you. You say, I don't like that. I'm not going to be a Christian. Well, why don't you try it? A lot of people tell me, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, there's a lot of things you wouldn't do, a lot of things you miss out on. When I was a little boy, my mother was in the hospital having my baby sister. And we used to go up to Aunt Mabel's house, Uncle Bill and Aunt Mabel's house. And they lived about a half mile from our farm, on their farm. And we went up there. And one morning, my Aunt Mabel made chip beef on toast. That is the most ugliest looking stuff you ever put in front of a little boy. I looked at that, and she says, you need to eat that. I said, I ain't going to eat it. And she said, Sheldon, you know I wouldn't give you anything that wasn't good for you. And I looked at it, and I said, I'm not going to eat it. And she said, I want you to just take a taste. I said, nope. I want my mommy. That's a good answer. She said, Sheldon, now eat that. And I took a little taste. Oh, my goodness, that was good. Didn't look like it was good, but it was good. And I said to her when I got done, I said, can I have some more? And, of course, guess what she said? See, I told you. You know, that's the way the Christian life is. There's a lot of people out there that just don't get it. Why? The Bible says Satan blinds their eyes. He blinds their eyes. In fact, he uses a lot of us Christians to blind the eyes of a lot of unchristians. The way we act, the way we react, the way we talk, the way we our deportment, our the way that we go about things, and we're so stern about this and stern about that, but we let other things float. You know what I mean? You know, we're kind of situation ethic people. Well, if the situation fits and it's good for me, I'll do it. If it's not, I won't do it. Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord." Know what you believe. Be strong to understand the Word of God and to study it. And if you can't understand it, find somebody who'll teach you and that will help you in your serving God. Secondly, we ought to be strong in our language. Historians tell us that Lord Nelson, was going into his last battle. And they wished him to cover and lay aside the glittering medals of victory that adorned his chest. He said, I refuse. Probably the refusal cost him his life. But the hero refused. He was unwilling to hide the marks of his leadership and bravery of former battles. He went in the battle with all regalia. So we as Christian soldiers should never hide and be embarrassed that we are a Christian, even if we have to suffer. Let men know that we bear about in our bodies the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many people that are so... Paul says here, he says in the last verse, he said, verse 19, he says, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul said, please pray for me. Now remember, Paul the Apostle probably started, they think, around 141 churches. That's not bad. He wrote Bible scripture. He wrote the number of books of the Bible. That's not bad. He spoke, some people think he spoke either 10 or 12 different foreign languages. That's not bad. He's the greatest missionary that ever was on this earth. Hey, how about that? Guess what he asked you to do? He said, hey, pray that I have boldness. And Paul the Apostle has a problem with boldness. I'm going to have a problem with boldness. God said that we ought to be strong in our, quote-unquote, our language, the thing that people see us doing and how we act and react. And then third, be strong in self-sacrifice for Jesus Christ. We must not forget the cross. We must not forget the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us so that we can become free. And we ought to live up to that. There's a story told about two simple servant maids who were under different circumstances, gave up their life for the life of little children. The scene of the first was in America. The scene of the second was in London. A young English girl had taken service in a family going to America. And her special duty was to be in charge of three motherless children of her widowed master. On a cold December day, they all embarked at the great Mississippi steamboat and bound far northwest. Day after day, they steamed through the swollen rivers where pieces of ice were already showing, past dark and gloomy shores lined the lonely forest. One night, near the end of their voyage, the girl had been charged to the two girls and the boy, and they fell asleep safely. And now when all the passengers had retired, she went in to do some reading in another room. Suddenly, in silence, was broken by a terrible cry that told the frightened passengers that the steamboat was on fire. And the captain instantly ran the vessel into shore and ordered the people to escape the best way they could. The faithful servant was called her master and then carried the children from their beds to the crowded deck. Quickly, the blazing vessel touched the muddy bank, and the father placed the shivering children and the servant on one of the huge branches overlaid the river. A few other passengers, 15 in all, reached their branches. The rest of the passengers went down with the burning ship. But what hope could they have for the children? They had been snatched from their warm beds and exposed to unclad to the bitter December night. Their father had no clothing to cover them, and as he spoke, another steamer should be here by in the morning. They had little hope for the children to making it. Then the servant maid declared that, if possible, that she would keep those little ones alive, clinging in the darkness to the icy branches. She stripped off all her clothing but a thin garment next to her body and wrapped those children in her clothing. Thus they passed long, dark hours of terrible night. We do not know if she prayed a prayer, but we know that Jesus, who suffered cold and hunger for our sakes, made the servant girl strong and sacrificed her life. During the night, one of the children died, but in the morning, at the first light came, the little girls were still alive. Then when her work was done, the freezing limbs of the brave girl relaxed her hold on a deadly sleep and fell on her, and she dropped silently into the rushing water. Presently, a steamer came at sight, and the two children were safe, but yet she died. Second story is told about a great fire in London, the burning houses where the husband and wife and children and the servant maid, parents perished in the flames, but the servant appeared in the sight of the crowd below in a framed, as it were, the fire was blazing in the window. Loudly shouted, decided to cry, begging them, the girl to save herself. But she, thinking of others, throwing a bed from the window, she signaled for those to stretch it out. Then darting into the burning room, she brought one of the children in of her employee and dropped it safely on that bed. Fiercer grew the flames, but this humble heroine faced the fire and saved the other child. Then the spectators, loudly cheering, begged her to save herself, but her strength was exhausted, and when she went to jump, she faltered and was so injured that death came to her. No one raised a great monument to Emma Willoughby or Alice Harris, who passed through the water and passed through the fire. But surely if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ and had by faith received him as their Savior in God's great house in heaven with many mansions, their name are written in gold. Sacrifice a life for others. You know, folks, it's our responsibility to be strong. Our responsibility to do those things that God calls us to do. He also tells us we need to be strong in our battle. You know that life is a great battlefield, don't you? I'm in a battle today. And we're battling all day. Ryan, you were in a battle last week. Good night. Didn't know what's going on. You're not feeling well. You're hurting. We're all battling. It's a battlefield out there. Put on then the whole armor of God and stand as a Christian soldier, side by side and shoulder to shoulder with your face to the foe. It's our responsibility to stay strong. Not just sit, but go out and battle, amen. Napoleon retreated from Moscow. And the main body had passed by the mounted Cossacks covered around the strugglers and stragglers who overcame by cold and fatigue could only force their way slowly through the snow. Many of the weary Frenchmen thus fell beneath Cossacks' lances. Presently a band of fierce horsemen saw a dark object in the snowy plain and dashed towards it. They were face to face with a small body of French soldiers who had formed into a square to resist them. Their bayonets at the charge. The Cossacks rode around and around and around, trying to find some weak place to attack, and could not find none. At length they charged the square and found that these men had frozen to death. You know, that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to go ahead. God does not want us to stop and be frozen. God wants us to be strong and endure and to stand. The Bible keeps saying stand. And I tell you, stand. We as Christians need to stand for God. But how can you stand for God if you don't know much about God? Why are you standing? Why do you do certain things? You don't have a reason why we do certain things. Why do we believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Why do we believe that the Bible is our pathway to life? Why do we believe our Bible is our measuring stick? Why do we believe this? Is this book eternal? Yes or no? Yes, it's eternal. It's incredible for me when I'm reading the Bible, I read over Daniel, it sounds like I'm reading today's newspaper. Of the troubles and trials that are coming into our lives and the things that are happening in our communities and happening in our state and happening in our country and happening in our world. There's amazing things was going on out there. The Bible says, don't fear these things. Don't fear man. He may be able to take your body, but he can't destroy your spirit. He can't destroy your soul. That's who we fear. And we have constantly see people that are, quote unquote, they're just falling out. Boy, there are people who serve God, and boy, they're gung ho, and they're like that. They're this bright and shiny star that's like that falling star is just brilliant, and they're gone. No, God said, I want you to stand. I want you to be the way you are. And I will tell you, you'll never be able to do it. Listen, I promise you, if you be serving God and you don't stand with your reading your Bible and don't pray, you'll burn out. You lose the fire. You'll kind of be like the ember that falls apart and goes off the hearth and just sits there and all of a sudden just turns cold and black. Years ago, there was a man was a godly man. Godly man. And all of a sudden, something happened in his life and he retreated. He went away from God. His pastor would come and encourage him, but just didn't seem like that it helped. One day the pastor asked God, said, "Dear God, that man's a good man. He lost his wife and lost some things, and he just felt that God had forgot him." The pastor come over to his house, knocked on his door, and the man was sitting there by his fireplace. Pastor went in, didn't say a thing. Went over, sat down in a chair. Then he stood up and got a poker and drew a piece of coal, a red, bright, hot piece of coal, and just pulled it to the side of the hearth. And just sat there and watched it. And all of a sudden that coal just, within 5 minutes, was black. It looked like charcoal. Then the pastor did something funny. He took that poker and slid that piece of black charred wood that was not on fire anymore, put it back in the fire. And all of a sudden it became bright. He put the poker back in and bid the man adieu. And walking out, the man says, "Pastor, I'll be back to church." He understood it. He got it. Hey, listen, if you're out there by yourself and you go all doing your things yourself, you need encouragement. That's why we need to be strong. And we need to stand for the things that are right and proper, the Word of God. That we're not playing church. This is real life. Troubles and heartaches come to us. Job said the troubles of life are like the sparks that come off the fire. David wrote, "Troubles and sorrow beset me." All of us have troubles. All of us have sorrow. All of us have something going on in our lives. It may be that we have a wayward child. It may be that we have a problem in our marriage. It may be we have a problem with our grandchildren. Maybe we have a problem with finances. It may be problem that we have with our kids. It may be problems that we have with a vehicle. Maybe problems we have at the home and the water heater goes out or we have a flat tire or something's always going wrong. You're always doing something to fix something, to clean it up and do something. There's always something going on. Yeah, we're in a battle. But it'd be a terrible thing to go through the battle and then give up and lose the rewards that God had promised to us for serving the Lord. The Bible says, listen to me, Christians, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with that. Be happy. Be willing to serve God in every step. And if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you need to receive Him as your Savior. And it's real. It's true. And find out what the Scripture says. Don't just take somebody's word for it. Take the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, help us today, Lord, that we would be strong. And Lord, that we would put on the armor. And it's in Your might that we get through this life. It's not us. We can't do it. We're just human beings. We're just immortals that is appointed on a man wants to die and then the judgment, all of us are going to die. But dear God, there can be a change. We can not only die, but we can go to heaven and live forever. Lord, I pray there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, that they would accept You as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. One, you're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that." Would you lift your hand right now? "I'd sure like to know I'm saved. I'd sure like to know that I'm on my way to heaven." Would you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, would you please pray for me?" Father, I pray You'd be with us now, this time of invitation. Lord, as You speak to our hearts and our lives, that we would do what You'd have us to do. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God how you can be saved, how you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven." What a blessing that is. to know that. Why don't you come? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come? Let me show you from God's holy word how you can know what He says it takes to become a Christian. You heard it and say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and I need to do that. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Maybe you're today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is the kind of church we've been looking for. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time? Again, you're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not saved. Maybe you're here today and say, Preacher, I need to follow Lord and believer's baptism down in deep water. We need to become members of the church to serve God. Why don't you come? Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the opportunity we have to be in our church and be in fellowship. And thank You, Lord, for all the work that was done last week. God, we also pray for the work that's going to be done. We pray, Lord Jesus, today now, as we have this funeral for Brother Craig, pray, God, that we'd be a blessing and help and encouragement to that family. Lord, help us, Lord, as we serve You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this. A lot of us do not... We weren't brought up here. We moved into this area. And when you do that, you leave a lot of family someplace else. My family is from Michigan, and my wife's family is from Minnesota. That's where most of them live there. So when we move to a place and we get into a church, this becomes our family. This is our family. One thing I would never do in my family is miss a funeral. I would never miss a funeral. I'm real religious about that. Because you don't have to say nothing to somebody that's at the funeral, but your presence means an awful lot to them. You say, but the preacher, the family hasn't been coming to church. Yeah, he's had cancer for a couple of years. Has some very difficult times in his life. Now's the time. We put our arm around about them and say, hey, you know what? We just want you to know we love you. So I'd hope that you'd be here. Don't go screaming in here at 3 o'clock. Come here a little bit early. We need you here. We need our families here. And I hope that that'll be a good talk to you today about that. Being a part. You say, well, I got some things to do. Yeah, I know. We all got things to do. But when it comes to a funeral, everything should stop. And we should bear the burdens of others. That's part of the Christian family, Chris. And this is our family. If you passed away, you'd certainly want someone to come to be beside your husband or be by your wife during that time. So I hope that you'll help out in that and appreciate it. Now, let me ask you this. Do we have a nursery set up for this today? No? Could someone set up a nursery today? Make sure we have someone there? Take care of it. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll have a meal right after service. You can help in that. And I know many of you are doing that. All right. God bless you.